The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome again. It's nice to see you all. It's nice to be part of this community that meets regularly and to cultivate our hearts and minds. And in the early Buddhist tradition, like the earliest Buddhist tradition, I mean, as best we know, there's a distinction between loving kindness and compassion. And in later Buddhism, that distinction kind of goes away, which is fine, right? We don't have to have, you know, specific clarity between them. But in the earlier Buddhist tradition, the way that they make the distinction is that loving kindness, as we've been practicing it, is, you know, softening the heart, opening the heart, and extending, wishing goodwill and care, warmth, respect, benevolence to others. And then the practice is to expand and expand and expand the sphere of beings that one extends this loving kindness towards until you extend it to all beings, to all beings. When I'm teaching here, I tend to like it to be less abstract and a little bit more tangible. I find that to be, it's easier to, well, I don't know if it's easier. I just think that when it's abstract, sometimes we can just slip into something that feels maybe comfy, cozy, but isn't stretching us or helping us learn some skills. But in the early Buddhist tradition, with the expansion of loving kindness, of course, this loving kindness is going to encounter beings who are having difficulties, beings who are in pain, beings who are suffering in that all the ways that beings can suffer, whether it's emotional distress or physical distress, whether it's humans or animals. So in the early Buddhist tradition, they say that when loving kindness, this wish for goodwill, meets suffering, meets pain, meets difficulties, then it gets transformed into compassion. And compassion is this goodwill plus the wish for the ending of suffering, a wish, a wholehearted wish for all the difficulties or any difficulties to end. It's a beautiful thing, right? That out of compassion to care for others, when we see that they're having difficulties, not out of pity, which sometimes pity has a sense of not being equals, whereas compassion, there's definitely a sense of equals, of being equals. But that means that if we want to cultivate compassion, then it's implicit in this is to recognize when there is suffering. Recognize when there are difficulties, when there is pain, to attune ourselves to that so that we can notice it both in ourselves and in others. So when we start tuning our sensitivity, our awareness, our radar, so to speak, towards suffering, we might see that, okay, we can find it in all kinds of different situations, which doesn't have to be a problem. If we've been cultivating loving kindness, then it can just be this compassion, this sincere wish for the difficulties to end. And there may or may not be some action that happens, making peanut butter sandwiches for people who are hungry. Or maybe it's just the wish in the heart. This is where wisdom comes in, to know whether which is the best thing to do here is to be cultivating this well-wishing or to get up and actually do some action, write a letter or make a phone call, make a donation, whatever it might be. But this idea of tuning into when there are difficulties or suffering in ourselves or in others, and that being a like a compassion bell, kind of like a mindfulness bell. Sometimes it's something that reminds us to be mindful. Seeing difficulties is something that can remind us about the compassion, this capacity that we all have, and that we're cultivating. Even if we just are cultivating loving kindness, it will be cultivating compassion as well. But here's a question to just ponder or contemplate or think about or reflect on. What if for ourselves, as well as when we see in others, what if we would consider our experiences or label our experiences or categorize our experiences as suffering, not suffering, as opposed to good or bad, or something that, you know, repels us, or something that pulls us. Instead, to say, okay, this is suffering and this is not suffering. Or to say that, oh, this leads to greater suffering, or this doesn't lead to greater suffering, it leads to greater freedom. What if we use whether the magnitude of suffering, the presence or absence of suffering, and I'm using suffering as a generic, as a generic word to cover the whole spectrum from just mild annoyance that's really subtle and you can't even notice it unless you turn your mind towards it, towards howling in pain, emotional pain or physical pain. So I'm using the word suffering to refer to the whole spectrum there. So what would it be like if we evaluate, considered our experiences in terms of difficulties, not difficulties, as opposed to good and bad? Kind of good and bad, those labels tend to have this moralistic thing. I'm bad because I'm having uncomfortable experiences. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad meditator. I'm a bad human being, whatever it might be. Or good. Oh, okay. I had some good experiences. Maybe I got settled during meditation. I'm a good person. Often we kind of fall into that trap when we start using the evaluations of good versus bad, as opposed to less suffering, more suffering, going towards freedom, going towards suffering, going towards less freedom. It tends to feel like, oh, there's some movement or some potential there. Instead of shutting down, like this is good, this is bad, it's like, oh, okay, this is not leading towards greater ease. Is there something that can lead towards greater ease? So I offer that as a reflection as we cultivate this loving kindness. Having access to loving kindness helps us to not collapse when we might be doing this habitual good, bad, I want it, I don't want it. But to be able to hold that and to stay with it a little bit more, say, oh yeah, okay, this is difficult and this is not so difficult. Something like this. So loving kindness helps increase our capacities in which we can be with difficulties, as well as helps us to meet the suffering in a way that can transform it. When it's our own suffering, if we can meet it with a way that has enough warm-heartedness to it, then our suffering can diminish. And my pesky phone, I apologize. I'm still learning how to turn off the notifications. Hopefully that wasn't too much suffering to hear that little thing from my phone. And if it is, can you meet it with your heart, with a warm-heartedness? Okay, so let's practice. Let's, with that as an introduction, we can practice with some loving kindness. So let's take an alert, upright posture, either literally or figuratively, a posture that supports your intention for meditating. Your intention for being open-hearted and being present. And settling into our seat, arriving, feeling what it feels like to be here right now. Just in a simple, relaxed, easy way. Allowing the attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. Just feeling the movement of the abdomen or the chest. Perhaps the air going in and out of the nose. Nothing needs to be happening right now. We're just settling into the sensations of breathing. Feeling from the inside, not so much thinking about breathing, but sensing, experiencing breathing. Connecting to the experience. Maybe feeling into the quality of the breath. Is it smooth? Is it a little bit jagged? Is it short or long? Deep or shallow. It doesn't have to be any way. We're just noticing. When we find ourselves lost in thought, we just very simply, gently begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to feel some warm-heartedness, some goodwill, love, kindness. Bringing this being to mind. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, you can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Is there a way in which you can notice the way in which you practice? If there's goes towards less suffering, more ease. More freedom, more peace, more love. And then to extend our loving kindness to include ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can check in with sensations in the body and see if there is some sense of well-being or openness or spaciousness, even if it is really subtle. And allow that to support you. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness for neutral people or a neutral person. Someone we don't know, someone we don't have a relationship with. Maybe somebody in this Zoom call. Maybe somebody in the neighborhood that you see sometimes, but you haven't spoken with maybe. Just like you, they have things that are suffering and less suffering. We can extend loving kindness to them. So bring this person to mind. It doesn't have to be high definition image. It could be maybe a vague, diffuse image or sense of the person. And we can say the phrases to extend our goodwill towards them. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Might require just a little bit more effort with the neutral person, but not in a way that leads to strain or struggle. Maybe you might notice, oh, in loving kindness for a neutral person, is it little bit more suffering, a little bit less suffering. A little bit more effort, a little more, I don't know what the word is. And sometimes when we use the framework of suffering or difficulties, it can be helpful to also do equanimity practice to make sure that we don't slide into a kind of a colored view of things. So for this practice, bring to mind somebody that you care about, and who is sometimes a little bit troubling, a little bit irksome, not the most difficult person in your life. We can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground and the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of using the frame of the suffering or not suffering difficulties or not difficulties as a way to evaluate our experience as opposed to good or bad. I think that kind of the power is to get away from good or bad, because that brings along with it so many ideas about ourselves or how things should be, or get into expectations again, or our preferences can be enforced, just a big can of worms. And it also points to how we can choose. We can be flexible about what we use to evaluate our experience. Of course, we have habitual ways, and of course, we have preferences. And maybe those will be our initial responses to things. I don't like this, it's bad. But then we might can then have like a second response afterwards. Oh no, this is what suffering feels like. And to have some compassion for ourselves, or to have compassion for the other individual or whatever it might be. So this pointing towards the flexibility of our minds and the way in which we organize or understand our experience. So we can go into breakout groups now to talk about this idea, either the idea specifically of using this evaluation of suffering or not suffering, or the idea of we can choose different ways to evaluate experiences, or maybe even the idea of when loving kindness meets suffering, it gets transformed into compassion. Or, so here's like a fourth thing, but you can just talk about your experience too, what that was like, right? It doesn't have to be complicated or something like this. So I'll put you into rooms of three or four people, and you'll have 12 minutes to talk about this. And let's do this with the person. We'll go in reverse numerical order based on the last digit of the phone number you use the most. So if your cell phone last digit is 1, you go last. If the last digit of your favorite phone number, if it's not your cell phone, is 9, you go first. I'm going to put 0 before 1. So that 1 would be last. And 9 goes first. 9 down to 0. Okay. So have fun. Oh, well, let's see. I guess I have to actually open these for you guys, right? There we go. Bye-bye. Okay. So welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or something they'd like to share or say or question? Yes, David.
I think everybody in our group kind of felt that suffering and not suffering could be loaded with, judgments and pleasant or, drawing closer or pushing away and, all sorts of things. So I think we all realize that you're trying to get away from good and bad, but we still were able to find good and bad in it.
love it. I wonder what would be some other alternatives between good, bad, suffering, not suffering. Does anybody have some ideas of some something else, some other evaluation?
Pleasant, not and unpleasant.
Pleasant, unpleasant.
Helpful, unhelpful.
Helpful, unhelpful. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Judy. Marie, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe breaking it down into what it is that you feel. That's what a meditation teacher taught me many years ago. Literally just go hard, cold, hard, soft, and that takes away an opinion or a judgment.
Yeah.
So the way that you're experiencing it, because everything else can be loaded, good, bad, helpful, unhelpful. There's a little bit of a nuance of, it's not quite the way I wanted. But if you're just breaking down into how it feels physically, how you're physically feeling it, often that takes you away from your head.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Marie. Right? Just get into the tangible felt experience of it. Yeah. Thank you.
Anybody else? I like the idea of like a fist. So like a tight fist or, you know, an open, loose fist. Yes. So how are we holding this? Are we holding it with like openness and options, or are we clenched and tight?
Nice. Nice. Thank you, Liz. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have some ideas? Yes, Rich.
I just wanted to thank you for using your Buddhist superpowers and reading my mind in that over the last few days, and specifically yesterday when we were talking about metta and equanimity, what I have come to understand is when I'm picking people and when I'm thinking about people, I kind of feel for their suffering, right? And over the last few days, I really liked the word, like I'm expressing compassion for them more so than like metta. And so it's like you read my mind, told me what the difference between metta and compassion was. And, you know, when you said when you're encountering them with suffering or them with pain, then it moves into compassion. And it's like, oh, that's why I'm feeling compassion for people, because I'm seeing their pain. So you read my mind and it was wonderful. So thank you.
Maybe the Buddha read his own mind, and I happened to read some of his writings. Or I mean, he of course didn't write, but nice. Thank you, Rich. Okay, so we find ourselves at the top of the hour. So, wishing you all a wonderful evening. Whether it's good or bad or suffering or not suffering, pleasant, unpleasant, with a clenched fist, with an open fist, or actually you could just feel the experience of it. It feels like this, you know, in the body or something like this, however it might be. So I'll unmute us all so that we can say goodbye. There we go. So bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Diana, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Rich.
Will we see you tomorrow night, Diana?
Thank you, Kathleen.
It'll be Nikki tomorrow.
Okay. Well, have a good weekend.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye, Maria Kristen.
Bye.
Bye, Claire.
Bye.
Good night. Bye. Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome.